broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, Chris, what better slogan for the party of no, no way, never than just say no?
At Fort Leavenworth today, the military prison is safe.
85% of American citizens are saying Obama was not vetted.
You don't see another round of tax increases.
Just call him gone.
It's racist.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and we're happy to be with you. And we're back into another week of what is increasingly a cacophony of... There's a lot of panicked people out there, isn't there? There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of... It's difficult to separate out the people that are really concerned about what's happening in the country and people that are just making a lot of noise because that's what little kids do. You know, they take a stick, they hit it on a garbage can lid, they get a lot of attention, and they seem to think that that means people respect them. What people are doing is just paying attention to the kid who's banging a stick at the garbage can lid, because that's what's going on. There's a lot of people banging sticks on garbage can lids like little tiny kids. This idea of healthcare being a socialist notion, first of all, you'd have a very, very difficult time finding someone who can tell you specifically what's wrong with socialism other than the fact that it's been associated with communism. But be that as it may, let's put that aside for a minute. You'd have a real hard time finding somebody who understands what a health care plan is. Not this health care plan, not Canada's health care plan, not the nationalized health care of, Mozambique, just nationalized health care. What is that? What does that represent? What does that mean? What is that in the overall, in the economic overall, in the economic philosophical overall? Does that mean socialism? Does it mean communism? But is it for instance, we have police. That is a public service that we support with our tax dollars, but nobody would call the Metropolitan Police Forces of America socialist, would they? Well, do you know that there was a time when the idea of organized police forces was considered, it was considered the next step toward a dictatorship? People hated cops. If you think that there's an element today that doesn't support the police, I mean, what we have today of individuals who don't support cops, we generally consider those people to be criminals, right? You know, I don't support the police, but then I rob banks for a living. Well, I can understand that, but most of us who don't do that, we like cops. Well, there was a time when even law-abiding citizens didn't like the idea of cops. They protected burglars. They protected robbers. They even protected murderers from being arrested by cops. That was the attitude at one time in America where we live. Well, they didn't know it any better, Phil. Well, guess what a generation or two or three down the road will be saying about this one? They didn't know any better. I don't think a lot of these people that have been screaming and yelling about socialized medicine, national health care, I don't think they know what the hell it is. I don't think they could spell it. If you want my honest opinion, I don't think they know what the idea behind this represents. I don't think they understand why it is that some people think it's necessary. I don't think they understand how it works. I don't think they understand how much it costs. I don't think they know anything about it. The rank and file of people getting worked up over national health care have no conception, in my opinion, of what it really is in this country, as opposed to, let's say, Canada, which has been held up as an example of a healthcare system that doesn't work. And that's not true. The healthcare system in Canada works for a hell of a lot of it. It works for everybody. It just doesn't work for people who piss and moan and cry and scream because they can't get in and see a doctor right away because a pimple broke on their chin. No, Mr. Hendry, you don't understand. No, I completely understand. Now, this is a political, witch burning is what it is. This is just getting the masses crazy. This is, you know, the monster's loose in the village. Let's get everybody out there. Let's stack the hay up, set it on fire, and throw them in. That's what it is. People are freaked out because there's a black guy in the White House. Hey, now, let me tell you something. Please don't, folks, tonight, whatever, please don't call me up and tell me that there isn't any racial component to Obama's, disfavor, shall we say, among the American people, whatever it amounts to, because there is. And it isn't anything that perhaps people recognize right away. But this birther thing, when you've got a guy like Lou Dobbs, who at one time was a credible and, dare I say, brilliant newscaster. And he has now been relegated to the level of a kook and a weirdass right alongside those jackasses that were trying to sell 9/11 truth when he's talking about the birth certificate thing. You know, before we get into Obama's birth certificate, I ain't going to talk about it unless somebody wants to produce the birth certificate of Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, George Bush II, and whoever else I'm forgetting in there. I know we had a few other presidents. I wonder how well they were vetted. And why has it started with this guy? Why? Because his old man came from Africa as opposed to Germany? So what we're experiencing right now, folks, is this. There's an information overload going on due to the technology available to us, the technology that has never been available to any other generation like it is to us. We have information like this. Most of it is the interpretation of somebody else. It necessitates going over with a fine-tooth comb. It necessitates some understanding. Sometimes you have to shred it and start all over again. I don't know how ready we are to do that because we live in a time where we can get a hamburger within 30 seconds. It doesn't taste all that great, but it does fill us up, and it's 30 seconds, you know. So we figure our information should be nourishing and quickly obtained the same way. Because of this information overload, with all of this stuff that's happening, there's also a panic overload. There's also a misunderstanding overload. There's also an ability to rally people at that drop of a hat to get them crazy about something if you promise them a T-shirt or maybe getting a little FaceTime on TV. I don't know. And so people are feeling the following. The best way to get heard is to be really, really loud and not very clear. Just get really crazy, really loud, say a lot of stupid stuff, and at least people will notice you because there's so much out there, and there's so many people who are putting it out there, and there's so many blogs and TV stations and radio stations and talk shows, so many people trying to be heard above the din. What you're getting on the other side of all of that is complete horse crap. It's impossible. I'm telling you right now, it is impossible to have so many different sources of information and so many people in such a panicked mood to get their point of view out there. It's impossible to get the truth as quickly and as easily as some would have you believe you can get it. So I'm going to start by just telling you this. The people that are flipping out over the notion, just the very notion of a nationalized health service of some kind are so grossly misinformed and are doing such damage to this country when it comes to information. I know they don't care, but I don't think they really recognize how much damage they're doing. I don't think they care that they're hurting the country. I think they think they're hurting that portion of the country that needs hurting. What they don't recognize is they're hurting the whole country because they won't even let the debate take place in an intelligent way, in an informed way. They just want to crowd these town halls with idiots. Like the lady last week. Did you hear that one woman last week? And I know that Obama was born in Africa and there's jackasses. Yeah! And there are some that would tell you that if they're opposed to a national healthcare plan, that doesn't necessarily mean they're buying the Obama birther conspiracy. But I'm telling you, both groups of people are as thick. Same, I'm telling you, the same, absolute same level of education on these issues. So where do you go? Where do you start? Well, you can start by, if you, for instance, think that the Canadian healthcare plan is so terrible, the Canadian healthcare system is so terrible, why don't you find out a little bit more about it instead of looking at a TV commercial? You can also read the healthcare plan as it exists and what changes can be made and what is good and what isn't. I mean, there's a lot of things to do, but I guess that would take some time and it would take a little bit of study, and I sure as hell ain't going to be able to run it out for you here, but I am here to tell you this much. There's a lot of panic, there's a lot of crazy talk out there, and it's all being done by people with this political axe to grind that falls down along one of two lines. Either A, it's socialism, and it's communism, and it's a black guy, and the whole thing looks weird, and what happened to our country, and what happened to all these white guys that were president, and all of the, you know, all of our foot dragging and our ass dragging on national health care, a discussion of which has been going on since the 1940s, or B, there's that group that wants to get all of this stuff done yesterday, that they think every single solitary idea that Obama's come up with has to get pushed through no matter what, like this town hall meeting with Sebelius and Spector, who made the stupidest comment I've ever heard a guy make when he said, we got a time limit, we are under a time pressure. As soon as he said that, they went crazy because everybody is saying the same thing. What's the rush? Well, there's a rush, but it ain't like it's going to happen tomorrow. And it's no excuse not to know what the hell it is that you're passing in terms of legislation. But there's been an awful lot of talk about this plan being one that was just, you know, it's going to get rammed through, and that Obama is going too fast, and that it's going to cost too much, and that there's going to be irreparable harm done to future generations. But I haven't heard anybody talking on the other side about what not passing, for instance, a national health care plan is going to cost this country, about what will happen to this country if we don't get retooled for the 21st century, and we've got Brazil, and we've got countries like, you know, India and China and Russia breathing down our necks and boring right in on us. What exactly is going to become of a country that is still screwing around with old models of doing business, old ways of taking care of its people, old ways of looking at energy, and old ways of looking at communication and travel, while the rest of the world is getting with it a little bit technologically? All right, so what you're going to hear tonight, you're going to hear a lot of people screaming and yelling about Guantanamo. I happen to agree with them. You're going to hear a lot of people screaming and yelling about, Arlen Specter and the health care plan. You're going to hear a lot of people screaming and yelling about something else, some guy Doggett. I think it was a health care town hall meeting that this guy Doggett was involved in. You're going to hear a lot of people in the throes of panic, and as Rudyard Kipling said, to keep your head while all others around you are losing theirs, well, that's the sign of a guy,
Yeah, there's got a head on his shoulders.
Well, I don't know if that was it, but, that's close.
Yeah.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Don't call yet, because I still got this stuff I got to play for you. All of these people going nuts, foaming at the mouth like rabid dogs. And tonight, as you'd like to hear him, we're going to have our very special celebrity interview, and an Obama Joker poster is causing a stir on the web, whatever. 87, if somebody, mashed Obama with the Joker from Batman, and I guess this has got people flipped out. Not quite as bad as John McCain with blood coming off of his fangs, but 877-876-PHIL is the number. And don't forget, on our website, philhenryshow.com, we're streaming live video every night right there, starting at 9 o'clock with our pre-show. We were a little late coming on tonight. And then we have a post-show following the broadcast at midnight, or at 1 a.m., I should say. So that's at philhenryshow.com, where we also have an archive of material. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhenry. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I guess it's not really a town hall meeting. There was some sort of an angry demonstration in Leavenworth, Kansas, having to do with the relocation of the Guantanamo detainees to Leavenworth, Kansas. But I agree with that. I agree with the people who want to keep not only the detainees out of Leavenworth, keeping them out of the country. Nobody's been able to explain in an intelligent way. You know, I'm getting a little tired of this, too, aren't you? Are you getting a little upset with the lack of explanation for certain things? Nothing's been explained more than the health care plan, and everybody's going nuts about that. But why do we got to close Guantanamo again? Why do we got to close Guantanamo again? Anybody got any ideas on that? Anybody got any feelings beyond what it, quote-unquote, symbolizes to the world? I don't know what it symbolizes to the world. I have no idea what America represents to the world anymore, because the generation of panic that broke out after Bush got elected the second time, saying that the world no longer respected us. Geez, you take a look at Europe now, man. It's like it's Bushland. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget what's going on in Iran, too. That sort of changes things, doesn't it, a little bit, the way we're viewing the Middle East? And now, all of a sudden, we got this Guantanamo Bay that's got to get shut down for this nebulous reason that it represents something really weird to the rest of the country, or to the rest of the world, I should say. It doesn't mean anything to me other than the fact that's where you keep those scumbags. I think the president made a promise there just so he could get elected, and it happens. It happens all the time. Guys do it all the time. And he might have made a few other promises. You want to know something? Presidents make promises. And I'll tell you something else. This may come as a real newsflash to people, but presidents make promises, and sometimes they can't keep those promises. And if you think Obama's the first guy to do that, read a little history. People want everything, and they want it now, and they want it done right, and they want it done yesterday, and they want it done so that that doesn't cost them anything. They want great health care, and they don't want to have to pay for it, and they don't want to have to pay taxes, but they want the roads to run good, and they want the cars to run good, and they want the cars to be cheap, and they want everything to be cheap, and they want to make sure that America's still number one. We got the best defense in the world, and and our economy is second to none, but we don't want to have to pay an arm and a leg for it. I mean, we want it all, we want it now, and we don't want to have to pay for it. And that's about the way it looks to me, every time I'm thinking about these things. Anyway, Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius, who, the other day, during the campaign, said that, has anybody noticed that Obama's half white? And Arlen Specter got a preview Sunday of the tough sell lawmakers will face over health care as audience members booed and jeered during a town hall meeting in Philadelphia. Now, there is some discussion as to whether these audiences are getting stacked with a lot of ringers, a lot of people that are being brought in to make a lot of noise. One thing is clear, nobody's listening to anybody here. Town hall meeting, what are you talking about? Why would these people just, ask some tough questions and make Sebelius and Specter stand there looking stupid? Why shut them down? I mean, if you've got the information and you got the goods on what a disaster this health care proposal is, you don't need to scream anybody down. All you got to do is ask a question and make a question that's informed, which I'm assuming everybody that was in this town hall meeting, they're informed on the issue, aren't they? You can ask a question that's informed and you can make Sebelius look like a blithering idiot. I mean, that's what she's supposed to be, right? Here is Senator Arlen Specter. He gets shouted down while he tries to argue for changing the current health care system.
Which doesn't cover 47 million people.
So those are some stupid fools that were told to go to a town hall meeting. And town hall meetings, last time I checked, were exchanges of information, question and answer. And these people were encouraged to go out there and just scream down anybody that didn't dig. I mean, that reminds me of the days of Bush giving a speech. Or if you want to go back to other days and other eras and other issues, Johnson or Nixon. Here is Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius getting booed as she tries to answer a question.
When congressmen scoff at the notion of reading legislation because they aren't qualified or they aren't competent to understand it, how can we be confident that those congressmen are competent to re-engineer the entire health care system?
I'm not a member of Congress, have never been.
Well, she's right.
That's just a fact. I'm just telling you, if my observation is,
it is
I have
a fact.
Never seen members of Congress work harder on it. It is unacceptable to me for somebody to...
It's a mob.
If people say they haven't read the legislation, then tell them to go back and read it.
We do.
That's a disgrace. I mean, that's somebody standing there trying to explain something. She was never a member of Congress. She was governor of Kansas, and now she's in the cabinet. And that is a mob scene of imbeciles. Imbeciles. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Portland. Here is Joe. Joe, what's on your mind tonight, man?
Hey, good evening, Phil.
Good evening.
Just wanted to say, your views on Guantanamo are really, really arcane, and they don't...
Tell me why. Tell me why. Tell me why.
Well, none of the inmates at Guantanamo, we don't even know if they're guilty of anything. There's been no conviction.
What's the point of closing it, though? I don't understand. Why is it being closed?
Because, for the very reason that I'm saying, because there's no reason to hold them there. And Guantanamo,
why are they being held in America?
What's wrong with that? We have maximum...
Well, wait a minute. You said there's no reason to hold them there, but there's a reason to hold them here. What's the reason to hold them here?
To get them out of Guantanamo, because Guantanamo is an arcane old system. It doesn't...
No, it isn't. Anybody you've ever talked to says it's the best possible place to keep them. They actually have courtrooms there for military tribunals and anything else. It's far better equipped.
They'll never hold
far better equipped. What?
They'll never hold a court session there. There's been no habeas corpus. There's been nothing. They should.
Right. They're not entitled to it by law. By law, they're not entitled to it. What makes you think, sir, that holding them here is going to solve these nebulous problems you're talking about?
To get them into the federal system of courts and have
And what crime did they commit in the United States?
What's that? I'm sorry?
What crime did they commit here in the United States?
We are the United States is the country that put them, incarcerated them in the first place without any habeas.
Right. They're detainees, right? Are they prisoners of war?
We don't know that, do we?
Oh, we don't know that. You know, that's an interesting question, because if they're not prisoners of war, then what are we worrying about whether they're getting tortured or not? That's number one. Number two, if they're not prisoners of war, then they are in a sort of a status that is undefined. Now, why put them into the United States if we don't have that definition yet? Why not keep them under the aegis of the military who captured them in the first place?
Captured them without any charges. This is all, it's all here.
They're on a field of battle, sir. They're on a field, charges. Have you, when's the last time you saw a war fought where you charge a guy before you take him prisoner with a crime?
Yeah,
all right, thanks for your call, sir. You're not very informed, but it's okay. I mean, it's not surprising. There isn't a human being out there that wants Guantanamo closed that can tell me why intelligently. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number here. And don't forget, next hour, we got coming up the World According To, or not the World According To, we have our As You Like to Hear Them interview tonight. And that will be with a, news-making celebrity, As You Like to Hear Them, celebrity voice impersonated. So we have on a famous person, and we impersonate their voice. And then we talk with them, and they give answers, as if they were giving the interview and being honest. So that's essentially what that is. As You'd Like to Hear Them, meaning that they are being honest, and even if it embarrasses them. All right, so what do we have? We have the screaming and yelling about the health care plan by people who are either ringers, who are either being, bussed in or, being given a box lunch, and they can go in and they can scream and yell at Sebelius and Spector, which I would like to do on a good day. Spector is, he's not a bad guy. He's the kind of guy I'd like to yell at, though. And Sebelius, she gives me the creeps, and I'll tell you why. It goes all the way back there to the campaign when we talked about the question of race around Obama, and that even the progressives and the liberals and the Democrats were as ignoramus, the whites anyway, as ignoramus about race as anybody else. And she's standing in front of all these Kansans, and she's saying, Obama's half white, have you noticed? And the message being what? What is that about? Well, it's don't worry, he's got some white blood in him. And nobody said boo, and that's cool. I'm not a guy. I'm not going to rock the boat, man. If you don't want the boat rocked, don't worry about it. Phil knows when he's beat. But I'll never forget that. She represents to me that touchy feely jive ass kind of individual when it comes to race. You know what I'm saying? They all think they know where it's at. They all these whites that are so careful not to step on any toes. Just once. Can't we just use the N-word a few times a day so that we can, let the black people know that we're still who we are. Not that we're bad, but we're not as progressive as we like to sell, So if we could just drop an N-bomb every now and again, like a lot of us want to anyway, not in a very, not in any disparaging way. We just want to be able to say the stuff that we want to say, right? All right, so let me get off of that before it's misunderstood, not that it already hasn't been. And so we have that. Now let's move on to the Kansans rejecting Guantanamo. Now, I mentioned that. We'll get to some phone calls. I just want to just throw this at you. It was in Kansas. It was in Leavenworth. It was not in my backyard. Republican Senator Sam Brownback told reporters in the northeast Kansas Riverside community of Leavenworth near the Fort Leavenworth U.S. Army base, which was cited this weekend as a possible new home for the Guantanamo prisoners. And why do we need to move them out of Guantanamo? Because it's not a fit facility? No, that isn't true. It's completely fit. Because they're being tortured? No, not necessarily because they're being tortured. No one's been able to make a legal establishment as to whether or not it is A, torture, B, against the law. They're not even prisoners of war. They're detainees. Do you understand that this status of detainees being called detainees has been going on now? The war started in 2003? It's going on, it's 6 years. We ain't even figured that one out yet. All we've had are people screaming and yelling about torture. All right, so we don't know if they're detainees. We don't know if they're prisoners of war. They haven't been charged with a crime. These guys were captured on a battlefield.
Well, then why don't you call them prisoners of war?
Because they're not in any army. They're not in any army. They don't belong to any country that we know of. So why take them out of a place that is perfect for their particular situation at this particular time? Because the perception got out there, and it got out there pretty effectively because of the propaganda mill that was behind it, that somehow Guantanamo represents Auschwitz by a generation that wouldn't know Auschwitz if you cut off all of their fingers one at a time and told them this is just a little taste of what it was. So here is now in a video for his website, Senator Pat Roberts speaking out against the closing of Gitmo and moving detainees into his home state. If it was just about moving the detainees into his home state and there was no other legal reason why not to move them there, I'd be in favor of it. But there's no reason to get them out of Guantanamo. So this guy Roberts is going to bellyache about how they're going to be next door to him. Anyway, let's listen.
Just yesterday, the administration...
Forget it. No, here it is.
Just yesterday, the administration confirmed Fort Leavenworth is under consideration not only to house the detainees, but also be the site for the federal criminal trials and military commissions to prosecute terrorism suspects. The administration says they will close Gitmo. However, as they have attempted to do so, there has been delay after delay after delay. And nobody should be surprised, because it is a terrible idea that endangers American civilians.
All right, you know, chalk one up there for the president. Tried to, he got a promise and we'll close Gitmo. Why he said that, he probably thought it was the easiest thing that he could promise and deliver on, right? I don't know how many people really wanted Gitmo closed. I don't know that it was a big, overwhelming, overarching, overreaching, well, it was overreaching, idea, but... it's a real cluster, you know what. Here is Roberts explaining why he doesn't want the Gitmo detainees in his home state, which is what I thought he just did, but I guess not.
At Fort Leavenworth today, the military prison is safe from the inside out. The serious problem is that the facility is not secure from the outside in, especially with the 100 most dangerous terrorists now incarcerated at Gitmo. You see, American law prevents our U.S. military police from performing law enforcement duties outside of military bases. So our communities like Leavenworth cannot afford, nor do they want, to become a virtual fortress in order to be secure from terrorists or terrorist sympathizers.
All right. Well, no terrorist is going to get out of Leavenworth or any other American prison with any great ease. That doesn't worry me. What worries me and troubles me deeply is the time we're spending on an asinine issue about moving these guys out of Guantanamo. Who cares? Who the hell really cares? Who? I mean, really and truly care. Is there a groundswell of support for this among the American people? Is it a deal breaker if it doesn't get done? Or is it just a handful of shuck and jive mothers who, this was a real issue near and dear to their hearts since the Iraq War went so well? Since we seem to have won it, despite the best hopes of some people in this country, this is like their last chance at scoring a win, at least getting a bucket at the buzzer. All right, let's go to a phone call. 877-876-PHIL. It's Monday. That's my excuse, man. What's yours? Let's go to a phone call here. We've got Jim in Wichita. Jim, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil. I have to stand on your side of this fence, brother. Personally, I told your screener, there's only two ways that those detainees should move out of Guantanamo. In a body bag, or if Osama bin Laden declares war on the United States.
And then they leave Guantanamo?
Yeah, because now they're prisoners of war, and we can actually...
Oh, well, there you go. Well, not necessarily. Maybe. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe. Thanks for your call, man. Here's Chris in Brooklyn. Chris, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Yeah, Phil, thank you for taking my call. It doesn't matter what Barack Obama does. Let's be honest. I'll be very honest with you. The man is black. They don't like it, and that's the point. And, people are slaves to this communist crap. Remember, Martin Luther King, they said the same thing about him. You want to get scared people, ignorant people riled up, just holler the word communism.
Or socialism. So yeah, socialism's a more nefarious because, yeah, it doesn't quite have the sting, but it's still evil enough.
Well, let me ask you a question. What makes people think that way? What's in their brain that make them neglect themselves, vote against their own interests? What's the matter?
Well, there's a combination of it's the ideological wars that we've fought in this country. It's a combination of a deep-seated conservative sentiment against any kind of a nationalized government program that is not easily explained, like health care. So that means that's an anti-conservative point of view. Then you have the fact that the country is frightened right now because we've gone through such a traumatic time from 9/11 forward. We're not quite sure. You know, it's a battle for the reins of control of this country. And the third, of course, is the precedent setting election of an African-American to be president of the United States. So that's got other people asking really stupid and asinine questions. I mean, I never heard anybody asking Bush for his birth certificate or John McCain for his birth certificate or Hillary Clinton for her. Why this guy is so special because his father comes from Kenya. As opposed to, for instance, I believe it was one of the recent presidential candidates whose parents were born in Mexico. I forget who it was. Romney's parents were living in Mexico, I think. Or at least one was born in Mexico. I didn't hear anybody screaming about this. Obviously, there's a racial component.
So stupid to believe that you don't have a birth certificate. They plastered on the TV. And I went around asking questions. How can you go to high school, law school, college, all of this, and make your work your way up through the... the political system become president. Ain't nobody ever asked you, not once, the birth certificate.
Well, the guy's got a birth certificate that even the National Review, as we mentioned last week, which is a very conservative magazine, is saying this is a stupid issue and is being kept afloat because it's an easy one to understand, Chris, and that's the bottom line on that. People can get their heads around a birth certificate issue a lot easier than they can get their heads around a health care plan. Or any of these other things that we're talking about. So they can scream and yell. It's all ideological. It's got nothing to do with the truth. It has to do with conservative versus progressive or liberal or whatever new stupid name they're giving themselves these days. And it slows the country down, Chris. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. That's exactly what's going on. The same old dance. If you think it's up to a president to stop the bipartisan squabbling in Washington, D.C., well, you're thinking wrong, because really the very roots of that are in good old hometown America. People don't know what to do without their little political ideology. We wouldn't know what to do without a good bipartisan fist fight going on. We wouldn't know what to do if we didn't have somebody to scream and yell at. And they're talking about they want more bipartisan cooperation in Washington. If that ever happened, the American people would commit suicide en masse. Because that would mean maybe something's going to get done, and we can't have that. Now, you think I'm kidding. I'm not. American people, by our very nature, I guess, don't trust government. It goes all the way back to the British. But we have such a lack of trust of government that even if the government's doing something good or can possibly do something good, we don't trust that. We don't trust the possibility that government is simply a resource center and we can go and do whatever we want with it. It's a big manipulative or manipulatable or malleable thing that we can use any which way we want. But we just aren't comfortable thinking of it that way. We got to think of it as Big Brother and black helicopters. Get a life before, seriously, get a life before somebody gives you one. Namely, you know, 3 squares a day, man, and working out in a yard. I mean, that's what some people probably would be way better off doing, even though they don't think they want to be in incarcerated. I think half of the American people thinking the way they're thinking would be much happier sitting in a jail cell someplace. Because that's what they're expecting is going to happen anyway. All right, now we got one more bunch of screaming and yelling and crying bastards. Here it is, a rally interrupting a Democrats' health care town hall meeting. This guy named Doggett will listen to that. We'll take more of your phone calls. But remember what I told you. This is not that difficult to explain, and it's not that difficult to understand. It's simply, as I said, an information overload coupled with a pivotal time in American history, a time where the American people have been thrown off severely by the attacks of 9/11, by a war in the Middle East that looks increasingly like it not only was a good idea, but that it's following what seems to be a popular or conscious trend in the Middle East toward a Western-style democracy. Look at Iran. Look at Iran, the most populous, and some would have said months ago, the most ideologically entrenched of all the Middle Eastern states when it comes to Islam, anti-Western or fundamentalist anti-Western sentiment. And look at that country, taking everybody by surprise, demanding something that is far more something that is far more to our liking than we dare to admit. That is a democratic model whereby their mullahs and all the rest of those chump change mothers over there, that I don't know how those guys got into any power in the first place. Those cats would be brushed out, man. They'd be heads of state. They'd have no power. I mean, that's what they want over there. That's what those people have been talking about and have been demonstrating in favor of. And it goes along with, quite frankly, what our country is attempting to establish in Iraq. And it also goes along with, if you want to take the historical precedent across the region, it's something that I'm sure the Palestinian people would like to begin to embrace and not have to rely on these medieval fools that have been running their fortunes, Hamas, Hezbollah, and the like. You see, so there's a lot that's going on that's confusing people. Where once we had the Vietnam model, we don't have that anymore. What we have now is a country of people who are at the fore. We are at the front, man. We're at the battling edge of the sword toward the future, and we don't want to take the reins, and, you know, we don't want to run with it. We're scared. Oh, no, healthcare, man, socialism. How many decades do you want to debate this thing? Nobody's trying to take money out of doctors' pockets. No one's trying to tell you that you can't have good healthcare. We're talking about 40 million people that ain't got it. You got yours, I got mine, we're doing fine. So since when is the fate of 50 million people going to determine what's happening to the rest of us? Well, you don't understand the model, Phil. You see, if they had, then the prices go up for it. My health care is going up anyway, man. What the hell are you talking about? The prices are going up. All right, coming up, the health care town hall meeting number 2, where they're screaming like a bunch of stuck pigs. We'll hear that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com for our live streaming video of the show tonight, as well as live streaming audio and downloads, and twitter.com/realphilhenry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show, every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we'll get to some phone calls now. Coming up in the program later on, we got, as you like to hear them, a celebrity interview, an individual who is prominent in the news, and we're going to interview that person, and we'll do the celebrity voice. But, yeah, other than that, it sounds just like him. And next hour, of course, that'll be happening. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. And we got Mike in Phoenix. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I would like to give you a scenario that might make you want to close Gitmo.
Okay.
Some Canadians get together and they decide that the American radio that's coming into their country is corrupting their minds. And so they decide to secretly come over here and somebody throws a burlap bag over your head and takes you to Canada, and then they put you in a little island off the coast of Canada that's not really part of Canada, but is under the control of the Canadians. And they say, we're just detaining you. They're not charging you with anything. Maybe they use some techniques on you that are questionable.
I don't understand.
Maybe not too comfortable.
I don't understand your comparison, your analogy, or whatever you want to call it. It doesn't follow.
At some point, you're going to want somebody to say, hey.
No. Why have I been captured? What are you talking about? I got kidnapped.
You got kidnapped. That's what a lot of these people were done. There was a bounty out for people.
Oh, so a lot of these people were done, huh? Really? And where are you getting that information now?
Same place.
You know, we got more of this stuff that's flying around. The last time I checked, and tell me if I'm wrong, we got attacked on 9/11. That's not anybody coming over here and throwing a burlap bag over my head. We went into the country and started battling not only a Taliban, but Al-Qaeda, which is not affiliated with any country, not affiliated with anything we recognize as under international law. So we captured them. We can't call them prisoners of war because you can't call them a prisoner of war. They don't fall under that. So we have to come up with something called enemy combatant or detainee or whatever you want to call it.
Okay, but how long stick them do somewhere. You hold that person?
Well, that's a matter of opinion. But the question that I have for you, is, while we make these decisions and determinations, why do we have to close Guantanamo Bay down where they have been housed so far?
Because we're trying to get them into some kind of a legal system and get them out of this limbo that we've created.
They're in a legal system. It's a military tribunal system.
But they're not doing anything with these people. They're not charging them with anything. They've just created this limbo.
Right now, the president signed an order stopping these tribunals from moving forward. Okay, so that's why nothing's being done with them. They were being processed under Bush. They were being processed under Bush. They were being tried under Bush. Some were released under Bush. I don't know the exact number, but quite a few were released under Bush. As a matter of fact, the majority of the people that were being held were released, but we're still holding some.
And so for how much longer?
See, you got to get some information here, man, before we just start running around wanting to close Guantanamo, you know? Just like healthcare, just like all the rest, we got to stop with all of this jazz about how we feel about it, and let's figure out what is legal, what can be done, what should be done, what has been done, what's true and what isn't. I'm not asking for a lot here, but we've got so much emotionalism surrounding this and so many lies that have been told. Talk about Bush being a liar. Maybe he was. I don't know. But, man, the cats on the other side, they got him beat. When it comes to this, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, as you like to hear him next hour, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.